It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, one thing that is happening to me that is very weird is media. And I have experienced this a few times watching TV and movies, but now I'm experiencing it with books too. People do things in books that I can't do right, or in TV and movies, and I get confused about how they can manage it because I forget that they're not living in COVID. So like just this morning, it was an audiobook, and our protagonist walked to a table that had refreshments on it, and there were two people standing around the table already, and I was very confused why he wasn't waiting for them to leave before he approached the table. And of course, anything we see that has a crowd scene in it, there's this thing of like, you can't do what? No. But then it's like, oh wait, that's not how it always was. It's just how it always will be now. What is the shirt you're wearing?
It's a Colony Pumpkin Patch shirt.
I can only see the top of it, so it just kind of looks like Woodstock.
Oh.
Charles Schulz's Woodstock.
No.
It's Colony very Pumpkin yellow, which I'm not used to you wearing yellow.
Does it look bad?
No. Not at all. This is a new color for you. My mother, watching the 500th episode, was shocked that you weren't wearing your traditional hat, which I interpreted to be your long-brimmed hat that you wore back in the day. And I was like, yeah, he doesn't wear that so much anymore. He mostly wears baseball caps. But I was like, but he's got a lot of hats. And I was like, and even wore a bowler hat to our wedding. Turns out that's what my mother was talking about. Because you wore a bowler hat to our wedding, the only time she saw you in person, she kind of assumed that's just what you wear, I guess. And I was like, I've literally never seen him in that hat again.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've worn it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that gives me a plausible excuse not to watch the presidential debate. But I'll be honest, I was not going to do it anyway.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, for so many reasons. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 501.
Episode Buttonfly Jeans.
Legendary.
Like what?
It's Levi's Legendary 501 Blues.
Legend? Really? I don't remember the legendary part. It's been a while since they had that campaign, though.
Yeah.
What does the 501 stand for?
It's just the number designation. I used to wear those 501 Buttonfly jeans.
I did too.
I wear 550s now.
I don't know why. I wear some other company. I don't even remember now. I think it's a company that's specifically made for big fat dudes. I don't remember though. For a while I wore a JCPenney brand that was specifically for big fat dudes. But now I wear one that's comes from the Destination XL stores, which is the collection of big fat dude stores.
Sorry. I've been thinking,
and tall.
I've been thinking of switching over to like overalls, like permanent, like just if I'm going to wear anything that's jeans, I'll just wear overalls. I've been thinking about doing that.
All right.
I mean,
it's more of a fashion statement than you normally do.
Is it?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's my grandpa wore them all the time.
Was your grandpa possibly a farmer?
Why, yes, Tony, he was.
All right. See? Because I've also known people that have worn them, but many of them were farmers. Most of the rest of them were toddlers. And the few remaining, including myself, were people in the 80s with poor fashion choice. And those are the only three kind of people who wear them. So I'm just concerned if you wear them, people will think you're a time traveler.
I don't care what people think. I just want to be comfortable.
In that case, switch to caftans. Man, I'm telling you.
But I like pants. I do like
pants. That's not right.
It's just my
preference. I mean, I don't believe in universal good and evil, but liking pants is really close to universal evil.
Well, I do like pants, so. I mean, not that you can't wear pants with
a caftan. Yeah,
you can, of course, but it almost seems to defeat the purpose of the caftan. It seems like the whole.
It's just like, reason. Dude, why are you wearing that giant man's shirt?
Although that said, as I've mentioned before, I've often thought, because there are cultures where the men wear long, I mean, they have pants on, you can see, but they're also wearing a long thing that goes down to past their knees or, you know, whatever. And yeah. I often look at that dress and I think, oh, that looks very comfortable. But I also think that, I mean, you know, I've worn overalls several times in my life and I thought they were pretty comfortable. But they're not, you know, when you go to Kohl's or JCPenney's or wherever, you don't generally see, I mean, you have to go to like Tyson's or.
I was going to say Farm and Fleet.
Sort of
farm supply store.
That's right. And then.
Or up in the attic of your father's house, presumably.
Then you can find that stuff very
also,
easily.
Also, the 80s.
Well, actually, there was one of the times that I wore overalls, they were purchased for me by my mom, and it was in the 80s. And I liked them all right, but they were like an 80s version of overalls.
Yeah, yeah. There was a certain kind of style. In the 80s, possibly the early 90s, I had what was another common fashion of that era, a pair of white jeans with white suspenders. But as was the style at the time, I wore them with the suspenders off and just hanging down.
Oh, yeah.
The net result of that was I tore up the shit out of a bunch of chairs because they had metal fasteners on it, and I'd sit down and it would just scrape up the chairs, especially because I was in school, and so like every chair was made out of plastic. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't much like the overalls that my mom got me back then. I didn't really like the style of them. I did wear them, but I have some overalls that I purchased. They're striped blue and white key overalls that I purchased specifically for like a train engineer costume that I think my wife does have. I think Abby does have pictures on Facebook of me in that. But there have been
I mean couple winter's of coming I just assume you'll dress as Scrawny Claws the whole time.
But I mean, ever since I got that costume and I was wearing overalls for the first time in years, I remember thinking, boy, these are pretty comfortable. I could probably wear these all the time and it'd be all right. So
I don't know. I've never quite felt comfortable in overalls and I couldn't tell you why, but on paper, they're very comfortable as a concept. So, I mean, and I love any idea of pants that don't fall down while also not cutting off the circulation, because I have no butt and I have a big gut. And so growing up, the only way for me to keep pants on was to get them really, really tight so that they wouldn't fall down. And so things like suspenders and overalls, beautiful things.
Yeah, I like them. But it's really tricky to get the right size, though.
Is it, though? You can go too big with overalls pretty easy.
Well, you got a point there. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing to worry about is too small, and then you're wearing overall capris, which, I mean, I still think you could pull that off, you know? Nice open-toed shoe, you know? Or maybe just a huarache, you know? Big floppy hat. Sprig of wheat between your teeth.
Sprig of wheat. Corn cob pipe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My apologies. So, for those of you just joining us, this is our 501st episode. So, I mean, you know, maybe go back and get to know us a little bit, but whatever. Here's how this thing works. We have a hat, not the one he's wearing, a different one. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like you, and by you, I mean the people listening, because we have a pretty consistent listener base. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those. The one listener we have who wasn't on the 500th episode, I talked about how they don't participate and they don't do questions or anything, and they said, I write in a lot of questions in my mind. And I said, that doesn't get to the hat. You have to email it. And she says, no, I think it's just a transmogrification error.
Well,
could be. I could not argue. I could not argue. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails, not the listener's thoughts, but those emails, into little note cards, manifest physically within the hat itself, that have the information written on them. And we, I don't even know, servants, draw note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't. Which is most of it.
Nope.
Now, let's talk about the 500th episode.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I just want to say, wow. I told you that night, I texted you and I said, I think that went pretty well. And you were like, did it? My connection was bad. I missed huge chunks of it.
Yeah.
But then you watched it.
Yeah.
And you saw.
Yeah, it was great.
My mom loved it. My brother, who we text, we're literally the only two people in my immediate family who actually text, so we just text. On Saturday, texts me and says, do you have time for a phone call? And I said, sure. And he called me, just to tell me how awesome he thought it was. Like, seriously, like, we had like a 3-minute call and then we had like 2 more minutes of trying to come up with something to say. But that was the reason he called. He just thought it was really cool.
Another great thing about watching it later was that, you know, sitting in front of my computer here and participating in it, most of the time I didn't see everybody. You know?
Yeah.
But watching it on YouTube, I could see everybody the whole time. And so that was another thing that I got that I couldn't get while I was participating, was actually seeing, you know, everybody all at once up on the screen altogether. That was nice.
Everybody who expressed interest, who was on the invite, was there. Every single one. I did not think that was going to happen. It was really moving for me. Like, it impacted me. Mostly, I think, because I don't know. I think about, I've listened to a lot of podcasts. And I get this idea that you listen for a while and the podcast lets you into their lives, especially if it's one of these just sort of chat podcasts, and you feel you get to know them and you feel you get close to them and you sort of feel like you're friends. And so it's like you're hanging out with friends, but you don't talk. And I've experienced that many times. It didn't ever occur to me that that would really be a thing that our listeners would have. I don't know why, but in my mind, people are listening through some weird combination of like pity for us and just a morbid curiosity of a sense. Strangely compelling, as I believe Blood Sparrow was the one to quote that term that I have used many times since.
That's what she called it.
But talking with people, I realized that no, it's a thing, and it's like a thing that means something to them and enriches their lives in the same way that I've experienced with other podcasts that I've really liked. And the idea that people feel that way about it was just really moving to me and kind of humbling to me, and weird, because now there's a little bit more sense of responsibility. I've always kind of had this feeling like if you and I wanted, like, we could just do the same thing we're doing and not record it, and that would just be our friendship and whatever. But I'm like, no, we would apparently let some people down if we did.
Yeah, that
and people that we know and care about. So
right. I mean, I think one of the extraordinary things about what we're doing here, because everybody who participated in the 500th episode also writes in.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have gotten to know them too. I mean, they're not just listening and hearing us talk and we don't even know them.
Well, almost all of them are people that one of us knew before, but a lot of them, not both of us.
Yeah, right. So, you know, even though, you know, that's the first time I think I've seen Beth since episode 100.
Yeah.
It's great to see her. First time I've ever seen.
With two kids, one of whom was like big.
Yeah. First time I'd ever seen Craig or Stu or Coffee. You know,
Coffee's a very shy person. I did not expect her to want to do it. I was, when she wrote in and said she wanted to, I was shocked. And then she didn't show up. And I was like, all right, maybe she just had been hopeful. And then she was like, I lost the invite, or I'm not on the invite. I don't remember which. So I sent it to her and she showed up, and that was great. Cause yeah, Coffee's huge.
I think it's the first time I've seen Bill since the hospital, you know. I actually hadn't seen Jazz in a pretty long time, even though we talk pretty much every day.
I don't think I've ever seen Jazz live on video. I know what she looks like, and I remember from Briar Rose things hearing her.
Yeah.
But that was the first time having a live conversation with her, let alone a video one. And it was so great that Abby was there. Like, I didn't know that was happening. And like, she doesn't listen, neither does the producer, but she's an active part of it because we talk about her and things, because she's part of your life and all that. And so it was so cool to have her there, and people and like, so when we say William's wife, that's her.
And she did intend for the video to work. In fact, she thought it was working the whole time and didn't realize it wasn't.
I am so sorry. I would have said something. I assumed she either that she just kind of wanted privacy, or you guys only had one webcam.
Well, she was using her phone, so.
Yeah, which I didn't even occur to me.
And I hadn't seen Dave in a long time because for a variety of reasons I won't get into, we haven't been able to get to the gaming stuff. So I hadn't seen him for a long time. So it was great to see him. So yeah, I mean, it was.
Everybody was there. Mark kind of disappeared. And I mean, Mark had reasons. Mark had personal issues in his life that needed focus. But it was so great. I mean, I know he's sort of been clawing his way back in a little bit, but it was really great for him to be there.
Yeah. Last time I'd seen him, it was at a gaming thing. So it'd been a while since I'd seen him. And of course, Blood Sparrow, wasn't listening for a while. And so to see her, not only for her to come back and then to actually see her and talk to her was fantastic.
That was very cool. And everybody that was there was great. We've named so many people that if we've skipped someone, they're going to be really sad. So shit.
Everyone. Well, let's see. Beth, Mark, Blood Sparrow, Craig. If we didn't mention Craig,
we did mention Craig.
Craig and Stu, because I'd never seen them before. Bill. We didn't mention the producer. Well, you kind of did, I guess.
Producer. Who was having a really good hair day, by the way.
Coffee.
Her hair was looking really good in the...
Jazz. I mean, I think...
You and me. Oh, Bill. Yeah. Nice talent. Oh, I hope that's everybody. If you are on the 500th episode and we didn't mention you, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and bitch us out. We deserve it. And then we'll mention you next time.
Rest assured, we were happy to see you. Absolutely. And again, during the podcast, I probably didn't see you. I mean, I knew you were there because of the introductions at the beginning, but I did watch later so I could see everybody. And I could also hear what people said that I didn't hear during the podcast.
Yeah.
A lot of people said a lot of things, some very nice things that I didn't really
incredibly
hear.
Incredibly nice. I assume most of them were lies.
So...
But yeah, that was better in my best case version of imagining it. It was better than that. So wait, that might have been phrased ambiguously. It exceeded my best expectations.
Yeah, everybody who was there has written in. And even Adger Talon has written questions that were provocative, that, you know, got us talking about things.
As was this one that we did on the episode, although I was really worried at first it was going to be a major downer. And then he explained it, and I'm just like, oh, no, it's just old person bitching. We can do that. That's fine. I thought it was much more about, like, the hollowness of existence at this point. Things that gave me joy no longer do.
Everybody's written in questions that have, you know, sometimes they're silly, but everyone's written in questions that are provocative and that are interesting to us to talk about. I don't know if I mean, the response we've gotten suggests that we say things that are interesting to them also. I like it when people say what they, you know, respond themselves to whatever the prompts are
I like to find out, like, how we may or may not have misinterpreted.
Yeah. Because we all
actually, I was talking about this. And with the exception of the one other listener who is a devoted listener and who, I mean, you're the only one missing out there because they talk with me about it and have reactions and stuff like that. But with the exception of that person, there's something really not cool about having 12 listeners to your podcast that's been going on for almost 10 years. But there's also something very cool about the fact that your entire listener base literally shows up for your 500th and you know them all and like them all and they like you. Like, that's neat. That's really cool.
Right. That's what I think so too.
And it was just great. And it honestly, not that I think there was ever any plan to stop any time in the foreseeable future, but, like, had there been, that was the jolt we would have needed. Like, it made it feel worth it to actually stick this shit on the internet.
Yeah, right.
Rather than just talking like normal people do.
Well, of course, I've always said my only complaint about this whole project is I don't on the podcast, I don't really talk to you like I normally would. There's a lot I hold back. There's a lot I feel like that becomes
less true as the years go on.
I suppose that's true, but I do know that I overthink things anyway, but, you know,
and we both have times, I mean, no offense to you guys, but shockingly, there are things that each of us find slightly too private to put on the podcast. So there are definitely times where we stop recording and we have things to talk about.
Sure, we talk offline sometimes.
Because William's a very private person about a lot of things, and because I do a lot of illegal activities that I don't want proof of on the internet.
Well, also there's when you know someone, as well as we know each other, you know, you take some liberties in conversation that's private, you know, things that you take shortcuts, you say things that, that other people who don't know you as well, or don't know the both of you as well, might misinterpret, you know, and then you'd have to sort of explain what you really mean by that. There's a lot of shorthand you can use with people, you know, and that you want to use that shorthand because that's, you know, talking to people, I don't know. For me, talking to people is hard. I don't know if everyone's like that, but for me, talking to people is takes a lot of effort, even people I know well. So if I get to know a person well enough, I can sort of let my guard down and use some shortcuts. I'm going to do that because talking is hard for me.
See, and I suspect it's because you're nervous about being misinterpreted, saying the wrong thing, making someone feel bad. Yeah. I am great talking with people because honestly, I don't really care. So then I just say it. Speaking of Dairy Queen, I watched a really shit movie last night called Haunt. My new favorite subgenre of horror movie, besides paranormal investigators come looking for things and there's actual things, which I still am obsessed with for some reason, is stupid college kids go to extreme haunted house and either there's actual ghosts or everybody's like a serial killer. And I was watching one of those last night, and the shtick was all the evil people in the haunted house had masks. And then underneath the masks, they had fucked up their own faces to kind of look like the masks. And there's one point where one of the guys has like a ghost face. That's what they called it, at least. And before we'd figured out for sure that everybody was going to die, he pretended to just be an employee and was like trying to help them or whatever, but he wouldn't take off his mask or tell them what his name was or anything. And, there's one point during a very tense moment before he's going to kill somebody where he's like, do you still want to know who I am? Do you want to know what my name is? And all I could think is, yeah, your name is Strong Sad. Like, I reckon, because the ghost mask was so much like that I was like, your name is Strong Sad. You have two big elephant feet and you're kind of goth, but not very well. But no. Didn't come up. So, how has your 2 weeks been?
Well, the last couple of weeks, at some point in the last 2 weeks, the peak of fall colors was out. So
yeah, we it always sneaks up. It's like, not so much, bang!
Yeah, and it wasn't too bad last weekend. It was past peak a little bit last weekend, but now with the snow that we had.
Oy.
Earlier this
you're not
week
here. In the cold. We had snow on October 19th. Even for here, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think the news was saying that the kind of snow, specifically the amount of snow and whatever we got, we hadn't seen that since 1968. So
yeah, it was like a measurable amount. It was not good.
Yeah. I mean,
my brother was jealous.
I often complain about how it doesn't snow here like it used to. That was, I mean, in my memory, that was earlier even than I remember it used to be.
I tell people sometimes we even get a little sprinkling of snow in late October.
Yeah.
Which is true. The first year I was out here, October 28th, it snowed. Not enough to do anything or be on the ground or anything, but it definitely snowed. This time it snowed and I was like, and then I'm like, isn't it only October 19th? What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, it might snow on Halloween.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, I mean, I remember.
Not every Halloween and not very much.
Right. I remember when I was growing up, the local news, all the news I got was out of Des Moines, because I was like 45 minutes south of Des Moines is where I grew up. And they'd always have...
It wasn't a local Melcher Dallas news program?
No, it's just like here where we live here. News
anchors wearing overalls?
No. Where we live here, we don't get news out of Des Moines. We get news out of Waterloo and Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, the local news, whatever, would have this contest just for the person who would guess when the first measurable snow would be. And you'd get some people who would guess late October, but that didn't usually happen. It was usually sometime in November. And sometimes people would go out on a limb and say, well, the first measurable snow isn't going to be till December, which did
sometimes. And sometimes that would happen.
That did sometimes happen. But for the most part, someone who was going to guess, it's people guess around Thanksgiving, either a little before or a little after. And those were the people who were usually right. And then
that's a good average.
Not only would that be the first measurable snow, usually, but that would be, that snow wouldn't go away. It would be let, snow would be on the ground for to clear until the middle of March or late March.
Yeah.
That's what it used to be. But it's not really that way anymore. So,
although all predictable and measurable signs, of which there aren't many these days, are pointing to it being a pretty rough winter.
Well, I mean, I do like snow and cold weather. I know a lot of people don't. And I look forward there to there being snow, like for months on the ground, you know, not melting and not, you know, some rain and thunderstorms in January. I don't want that. I want it to snow sometime in November. Actually, mid-November would be good, even earlier. And for that to, for there to be some snow on the ground clear until late March would be perfect to me.
I have mixed feelings this year. Normally I'm not in that. And a lot of that has to do with getting up early and going to the gym when it's, you know, negative 10.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of factors. One, I'm really ambivalent as to how this relates to COVID. Cause in my hopeful part, it's really cold and wintry and everything. So people stay home. And that's better.
Mm-hmm.
But in my pessimistic part, it's really cold and stuff. So people pack inside warm places and get together and spread it even worse because we can't separate outside in the same way. There's no social distancing anymore. So we'll see which way that goes. And the other thing is this year, the house is cleaner and I'm working on it. I'm like, part of what's going to make winter better is if I like spending a lot of time on the inside of my house. So I need to make it nicer. And I've been doing that and it's great. As I pointed out to William before we started recording, the lighting in here, this is the same room I'm usually in. The lighting is better because I fixed one of the lamps because this room is getting close to good enough to move on to the next one.
Also, we watched Bly Manor, I think.
Bly Manor.
No. Did you watch it?
And? No. We got to wait till Trish comes back. Oh. I knew we wouldn't be able to get through it fast enough. So
I don't feel like I should talk about it until you see it.
All right.
But I did see it. And did you get to finish watching Lovecraft Country?
I did Monday.
I thought overall, again, I think I've said this, there were times when it was a little too gory for me, but overall, I thought it was really good. I mean, it was really good, I thought.
I've been up and down about it. I never read the book. Well, and it's so not the book. I was not a fan of the last episode in a lot of ways and for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
I felt it was not good storytelling. Like kind of big time. Like, I mean, I had other episodes that I liked better or worse than others. That one felt really poorly done. But I'm aware it's not strictly speaking for me. And from a representational perspective, there were a lot of things in that episode that you don't get normally. and I already have read some reviews that were very happy with that. And so that's cool. And you know, my personal feeling viewing it isn't necessarily reflective of the quality. It was going for something different.
I didn't notice anything amiss with it with the last episode, but I don't know. I mean, seemed fine to me. Were things rushed? Did you feel like, or
there was a lot of that? There was a lot there. It felt like a lot of last minute hand waving to wrap up plot lines and a lot of things that just felt, I mean, I'll put it this way. The blue hair felt really precious.
Okay, well, I don't know.
And there were a lot of things like that. The blue hair was really straightforward one, but there were a lot of things that I'm like, it doesn't feel earned. It feels like at the last second you decided to make it this because that's nicer, or that makes a point you want to make. It didn't. It felt very hand wavy at the end. The episode felt more like a Doctor Who episode.
Oh.
Which I love Doctor Who, but Doctor Who nowadays just has weird shit happen for 40 minutes and then they wave their hands and children clap and then it's resolved. And it felt like that in a lot of ways. And there were a lot of things that just felt very, I don't know, for the sake of making a point, felt disingenuous to the characters in some cases.
So we've talked about this before, how telling a story is very different in a book versus TV or movies. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've talked about is that sometimes people who write books, they often aren't conscious of the fact that they can have a character or whole chapters that are really just there because they need to be there for the book to work. Yeah. So that by the time someone's adapting it to a screenplay, if they're good at that, they're going to notice what characters, chapters, or whole plot points really are a distraction if you're telling the story in a TV show or a movie, even though they're totally necessary for the book. And so they have no problem cutting those things right out.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So as someone who read the book, do you feel like some of the changes they made were necessary or smart? Or earlier you've said that some of the changes they made seem to be about putting more representation in the TV show.
Yes, and that's so much what happened. A lot of the changes they made were because they were doing a very different thing than the book was doing.
Okay.
They were sending out different messages. They were dealing with a much broader, much more modern issue. The book is from 2006. They were dealing with a lot of current issues. They were dealing with a lot of intersectionality that, other than a little dip into gender issues, hardly comes up at all in the original book. I mean, there's just so many. It was a whole different thing. They were going for something else. They took the toolkit and made a different thing. And I'm okay with that. And I learned to appreciate it on that level. It is tricky, though, because I often think plot holes, below a certain threshold, plot holes that aren't excusable in books are excusable in screenplays. And I think it's because in a book, you have the words to explain what's happening. And in a screenplay, sometimes you can't and you need A to get to B. So you're just like, they jumped. And even though they probably shouldn't be able to jump to B, but they did.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And actually, this is really in my head right now because today I watched the finale of 12 Monkeys, the TV show.
Oh, the finale.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
I have now watched the whole thing. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to watch next. I'm going to say I recommend it. It does wrap up for a show about time travel, which is dangerous territory. And for a show that doesn't necessarily do it great, it does it better than some. And it largely, within its own definitions, it largely wraps up all of its loose ends. Like, all the time travel stuff that's weird, eventually they explain why that part is weird, or like there's a whole thing near the end before we're coming to the final battle when our heroes have to do a bunch of shit because of things that already happened that they're like, because, you know, throughout the show, there's times where it's like, oh, because like you from the future helped out here, or like this happened coincidentally. And so by the end of the last season, they're like, okay, now we have to go do that shit. So it will have happened. And they actually do that, and I appreciate that. And it's you know, it's basic cable sci-fi filmed in Vancouver, British Columbia. Every season, you find out that's not really the bad guy. That's not really what's happening. Oh, this good guy has switched sides. Oh, this bad guy actually has had a change of heart. Oh, that person who's dead isn't dead. Like, you know, all the shit. It's sci-fi soap operas. That's what they are. And they all have them. But that being said, we got a good resolution. We pushed it to make it a little nicer than it necessarily should have been. But at that point, you know, I was invested. And so it's nice to leave me feeling a little misty-eyed and aw and stuff like that. We managed to use time travel and other gimmicks to bring back everyone for the finale, like dead people and shit got to show up, sometimes as flashbacks, sometimes as dreams, but like everybody, kind of like Rise of Skywalker, you know, everybody got to show up for a little while. But that was fun, you know. But I think I recommend it, and it's boxed in, you know, 13 episodes, 10 episodes, 11 episodes. Those are the four seasons, and it's done, and it's all on Hulu. So I think I would recommend it, but yeah, there's similar things where it's like, this doesn't make sense. Like there's little plot holes and things that you're like, yeah, it's a TV show. Those happen. Whereas in a book, I'm much less forgiving of those. And so Lovecraft Country, I think, suffered a little bit in my mind from that. It suffers the comparison. It shouldn't be compared. They're very different. The TV show did a lot of things the book didn't do. So many things. And I will say this. In my being kind of annoyed throughout the last episode, I had a moment where I was like, our main villain character, we keep doing these weird things to imply sympathy. But I'm like, she's not sympathetic because she wants to do this thing so she can be immortal. And it's never coming. She's like, feels bad about what she has to do for it. But I'm like, she's never considered the possibility of not becoming immortal. Therefore, she's unsympathetic. And I found that annoying. And then I was like, wait a second. Because she's white. It's her sense of entitlement.
Mm.
She would love to do this in the way that least does damage. But the idea of her not getting what she wants doesn't even occur to her.
Mm.
As disgraced comedian Louis C.K. once said, people can't even cope with doing their second most wanted thing. They have to have the very thing they want. And I was like, that's awesome. That makes a lot of sense. As soon as I realized that, I was like, okay, that's actually really good characterization.
Well, I should note that there were a lot of things in the whole thing that I didn't quite understand, that I couldn't tell you if it's because of a mistake in how they crafted it, or if it's because I just don't understand some things.
No.
So maybe
they were very vague in a lot of things.
Okay. Well, so yeah.
And the last episode, like I said, very hand wavy at the end. Like you only got explanations of how magic worked when you needed to know. And sometimes they didn't really match up with other things. And sometimes you didn't really get an explanation. You were just like, we need this because it'll be good if this happens.
Oh, so I think there were a lot of times where I was confused about stuff like that. And I just thought it was me, but maybe it wasn't just me.
No.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
And again, harder to do in a screenplay. In a book, they can spell things out a little bit more. But also, they made different use of it. In the book, you could do it as a series of MacGuffins, sort of without getting deep into the how and why, and it wasn't an issue. Like, the nature of how the magic works and how each spell was, like, mattered in the TV show in a way that it didn't as much in the books. And they managed to kind of do a similar ending to the book while at the same time doing a completely different ending and losing my favorite part about the ending, which is a great little monologue that happens, but oh well.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. So could it be that some of the changes they made to make the show, along with them wanting to address more social issues and have more representation or whatever, what if a lot of the other changes were because their intention was to create something that could conceivably have an unlimited number of seasons, right? Because the book is not big and there's no sequels. So if HBO Max said, you can make this, but don't just do the book because we want not, and we don't just want you to set it up so we can have another season after it. We wanted you to set it up so that there's no limit to how many seasons we could have. That's surely going to change how they put the first season together, don't you think?
Oh, and I think, I mean, you might be overthinking it slightly, but I think opening it up for a sequel definitely played a hand in this. Whether or not it played a hand in it from jump or was something they started working out when they realized the popularity, I don't know. Kind of like with Westworld. HBO has a tendency to do that. HBO has a tendency to make limited series that suddenly aren't limited series anymore. Westworld being perhaps the Ur example, like the perfect version of that. No, I think that's a definite possibility. And I think it's a very good show. I think they made something new and exciting, and I think people should watch it. And I'm sure I will watch another season when I'm sure it gets one, although it has not officially been renewed yet. It's really impressive. And the complaints I have are my personal complaints. And some of them are a bias related to my love of the book. And some of them are, again, because I am not necessarily the target audience for this. But it's a real impressive piece of TV. Misha Green should be incredibly proud and incredibly lauded. And every actor on that show deserve some sort of award. They're all amazing. it's good stuff. I worry a TV show just for me, I would like things a little different, but it's not just for me. And it's still good enough that I'm watching it.
Yeah.
And it is groundbreaking in a lot of ways. It is a game changer in a lot of ways. And I don't want to discount that. I wish it all the success and I will be watching it. All right, we gotta do this quick here. I do want to mention a couple of quick things. Saw some other movies people might need to know about. Saw the movie Ready or Not, the comedy horror movie about rich people that try and hunt you down. It's a freaky family, and this woman marries into it, and it turns out on the wedding night, you draw a card out of a thing, and if you draw the wrong card, then they have to try and hunt you down and kill you and sacrifice you to their god. And it's not very good, and you shouldn't see it. It's not very good. I feel like we watched a lot of movies, but I can't remember most of them. The one we watched last night, Little Monsters. Now, I was confused, and I did find out. There is, in fact, a movie from 1989 called Little Monsters, starring Howie Mandel and Fred Savage. This is not that movie. This is a movie from 2020 starring Lupita Nyong'o and Josh Gad. But both are called Little Monsters. This movie is on Hulu. It is the story of a kindergarten field trip that happens and then zombies happen in Australia. That's the plot. It is very, how do I put this? Without giving it away, the premise, the more detailed premise, which I won't give away because I feel it's a little spoilery, is kind of original. And I liked that. The execution was not that original. Our POV is an annoying man-child who kind of learns to grow up during the experience. Like you do. Yeah. That being said, Lupita Nyong'o is amazing in this, as she is in everything. She is the kindergarten teacher, and she's just the perfect blend, because it's so much about keeping her charges alive, but also keeping them calm and like keeping things so that they won't be traumatized and in therapy for the rest of their life kind of vibe. And she's amazing. And I also will say, as the movie goes on, I liked it better. And the kids, there's a lot of little kids in it, and they're awesome. There's this great scene near the beginning where our man-child is angry about some boy that he doesn't know in kindergarten. So the boy's behind the door to the room, and the man-child slams the door so it hits the kid. And that's supposed to be the joke. And I'm watching it going, oh God, that is so not funny. And then I hear the little five-year-old kid go, arr! And he comes out, and the teacher's like, what's wrong? He's like, somebody hit me with a door. And he nails it. And this, I had to pause it. And I'm like, that joke was not funny. That kid made it hilarious. Like, his response is beautiful. And throughout, that kid in particular does a lot of that kind of bit. And he just has just the self-awareness enough to be a hilarious, like, kid who is tormented by life. And he's not our main kid either, but our main kid's really cool too. So there's some great performances in there. Josh Gad, whatever. He plays a children's television presenter who, spoiler alert, is foul and hates children. Go figure. But it's fun. I liked it more than Vampires versus the Bronx, and I enjoyed that. But I like this more. And again, most of that credit goes to Lupita Nyong'o. So you can check that out. That's all I really remember watching. Still watching Kim's Convenience. Still really enjoying Kim's Convenience. Did I ever talk about Deaf You?
I don't think so.
There's a show on Netflix right now called Deaf You. And it is a reality show. It is profiling 8 college students at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C. Are you familiar with Gallaudet University?
Nope.
I was not either. Gallaudet University is basically a historically deaf university.
Okay.
Like, most of the kids who go there are deaf or hard of hearing. There's a lot of deaf culture there and all that. And so we wanted to watch this because deaf culture is a thing and is fascinating. And you don't know a lot about it when you're not in it. Trish and I had sort of learned this through our work in accessibility and things like that. And we wanted to learn more about that. And you do. and we're watching it because you learn more about it. And it's only like 6 half-hour episodes. In addition to that, it is a stupid reality show about dumb college kids doing dumb shit like any other reality TV show about college kids. And that's annoying. So we're watching it because it's short enough that we're like, we can put up with this because it's, we're learning fascinating things about deaf culture, but interspersed, we have to deal with all this bullshit about ending on cliffhangers where one girl says to her ex-boyfriend, did you mean to get me pregnant on purpose? And stuff like this. And I'm like, oh my God, dumb. But so that is interesting too. But now we're about done because day after tomorrow, Trish leaves for 2 weeks. So that'll be a thing. I'm going to live the hedonistic lifestyle for 2 weeks. We'll see if I survive. All right. Should I draw a thing?
Yep.
Out of the hat. You seem to have checked out of this podcast about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, the connection's not very good. So it's, I'm not checked out. It's just hard to keep up. I was going to say the reason I brought up the snow thing was because I was talking about how the colors were peak was a couple weeks ago and the colors were still good last weekend. But because of the cold and snow, I'll bet there's not going to be very many leaves on the trees this weekend. And the rain, too. It's been raining.
I'm worried. I don't want the leaves to fall during these 2 weeks because I don't want to rake them. This is from Craig. You know, Craig the Liverpudlian. Craig asks, do you think you'll go back to seeing movies at the cinema after the world calms down? And for those of you American listeners, cinema is what Brits say when they mean movie theater.
I went to the cinema last weekend.
What'd you see?
The Empire Strikes Back.
Huh?
My brother Scott rented a theater. And you know, could invite just so many people to go. He had to wear a mask. He had to social distance and all this stuff. But you could rent the theater I think most of the people he could invite did show up. So it was like 20 people. And we went and saw Empire Strikes Back, the reissued edition on the big screen. So.
Why did he do this?
Well, because he's a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And so he was going to do that. He was, you know, if Star Wars is going to be shown on the big screen, he's going to go see it. But he also wanted.
Is this odd timing?
Well, I mean, this is something that theaters are doing to make money, is they're saying, hey, if you know, we're going to show these classic movies. And if you want to rent out a theater so that you're quarantined. So
the theater decided Empire Strikes Back. And your brother was like, I'll rent a private one of those.
Right. A month ago, Raiders of the Lost Ark was one you could go see, but he couldn't work that one out. Plus, a lot of things got in the way of him doing that, but they had Empire, so, and he likes to.
Somehow in my head, he rented a theater and he decided what movie to show.
No. It was something.
Okay. They were going to do. Now it makes more sense. All right.
And it was one of those theaters where you have like reclining seats and everything.
I love those.
And the theater, you know, talked up how between every showing, they showed what they do. They have these, I don't know what these canisters are, but they're fog cleaning all the seats and they're wiping them down. And it's like, they're showing all the stuff that they do to the theater to make sure it's super clean. And they have all these rules that you have to follow and stuff. So it's like, so he decided to do it. He decided to rent this theater and to invite a bunch of people. Scott's done this before where sometimes theaters will somehow get an older movie and they'll be showing it and he'll call me up and say, hey, let's go see this, because I think we did see one Indiana Jones movie. I forget which one it was. It might have been Raiders. Some local theater was showing it. He called me up and said, hey, you know, you should come see it. Because the thing is, he and I would watch these movies in the theater together when we were kids. So to him, it's part of the experience if I'm there.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, it's, you know, I like
And you're that. The second biggest Star Wars nerd.
Well, I like that, you know, he's my older brother who, you know, I worship the ground he walks on. So when he wants me to be somewhere, that means a lot to me. And I, you know, if I can go, I want to go. So we went, and it was very fun. And it was really cool seeing the film up on the big screen again. And it seemed like everything worked out and everyone was being responsible. The place did seem very clean. We didn't eat anything ourselves, but other people did. They seemed to be okay with trying that. And that was this past weekend. So far, we haven't heard of anyone having any problems or issues or symptoms or anything. So I guess the answer to that question for me is, yeah, I mean, we will. I mean, Wonder Woman's supposed to come out on Christmas. I think they'll move it. But if they don't, you know, unless we think the numbers are ridiculous or we think it's a huge risk, we'll probably go. But I don't know.
I don't think COVID has changed. I mean, obviously at the moment, COVID is stopping me from going to the theaters. I don't go to the theaters a lot. Anyway, after COVID, I don't think I will go any more or less than I went before.
Okay.
What actually really changed going to the theaters for me, besides getting older and being lazy, is big screen, high definition TV. I have gone to theaters and watched movies and then later watch them on my TV and been like, this is a better picture.
right.
Like this looks better to me now. And I don't have surround sound or whatever. And so it's kind of a matter of we go whenever we're really jonesing just to have that experience and get out of the house, which doesn't happen super often. And I'll take live theater over a movie theater any day. I love live theater. Or when there's a reason why we want to see something quick, which usually involves we're deeply invested in it and the internet's going to spoil the shit out of it.
Yeah.
So like the MCU movies, we had to go see those in the theater. I don't know that we'll bother after that, but like I'm not in a place, especially because I read a lot of pop culture sites and stuff like that, that when I'm involved in the IP, invested as I am, I can wait 6 months without getting it spoiled to shit, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a factor, but I don't know. They're not doing it for me like they used to.
Well,
it's a lot of work.
Avoiding spoilers is
one. And I don't like other people.
Avoiding spoilers is one big incentive for us to go. But also, I do like going to the theater if I really want to see it. Like, if I'm half-hearted about it or I don't want to see it, I'm just not. I mean, just being in the theater is not. But if it's a movie I want to see, I probably do want to actually see it in the theater. Although the spoiler thing comes into it, determines how soon I go to the theater to see it.
Yeah.
If I'm not worried about spoilers, then I can wait a week or two for the crowds to die down or whatever, and I can see it later. But it has to be a movie I really want to see. If it's just a movie that I'm kind of half-hearted about, I can easily, unless there's a spoiler issue, I can easily wait, like you said, 6 months or however long it takes to see it just at home.
Trish does have a thing, although I think that may be waning too, of an exciting, much anticipated movie on opening night or opening weekend with a packed house has a certain energy to it that you're not going to recreate.
Sure.
And sometimes she likes to be involved in that. That experience is also a pain in the ass for a half dozen different reasons.
Right.
So like I said, I think that's waning, but like one of the MCU movies we did that with, we did that with at least one of the, maybe two of the new Star Wars trilogy. stuff like that, just because she really wanted to be there for it, and, you know, whatever. But no, COVID's not really, COVID's impacting why I don't go now. Yeah. Once it is passed, it will not. I'll tell you the big thing, Trish and I have been talking about COVID's lasting impact on us. There's one, right now, we have both developed a certain low-level social phobia that I at least know will take some time to go away. Even when it's no longer not safe, being in groups of people is going to feel weird to me. And I know this because I have been in circumstances where I could, because like we were all careful or whatever, we were socially distanced, and it still feels weird to me. Mm. And it makes me nervous. So I think that's going to take a while. But a big one is I'm hoping that we as the Western population have learned, especially now that we all own them, the usefulness of masks. You see it all the time in Asia. If you're like sick, but not so sick to not go to work, or sick, but you have to go to the store and get something or whatever, you wear the mask so you don't give it to other people. And I think we were all just like, oh man, wear a mask all day. I don't know if I could do that. Well, now we know we fucking can. So maybe if you got a cold, you do that now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that would be
cool. We're over time. I'm sick of your face, so we should wrap this stuff up.
Okay.
we'll be back next week. I will have been like 4 days, 5 days into my hedonistic debauchery. So
it'll be. Why are you talking like that's going to be different than usual?
Because usually Trish is here to rein me in, but
and she does that, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. People are always amazed when they find out like I do have a filter in certain company, or I do actually avoid certain things because my wife makes me and stuff like that. Yeah, no, I'm a mess by myself. It's crazy.
Tony Wrangler.
Exactly. She used to refer to herself as my nights and weekends boss. But now she's just my full-time boss because I don't got no other job.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there's not a lot of progress on the publishing front, but that's a whole other kettle of fish. We'll maybe talk about it next week. Anyway, people, in the meantime, have fun. Next week will be our annual spooktacular. So.
Yeah, that's right.
So everybody, when you listen to next week's, listen in costume. It's more fun that way. We'll all listen in costume, and that'll bring out the, you know, joy of the season.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.